over the last couple of years, there's a lot of talk about the return of Jesus Christ.
¿Alguien ha escuchado que en los últimos años se ha escuchado el retorno de Jesús?
Amen. Especially the last couple of years.
Especialmente los últimos años.
With all that has happened with COVID and everything.
Con todo lo que ha pasado con el COVID.
So many pastors are preaching on the return of Jesus Christ.
Muchos pastores están predicando el retorno del Señor.
Many sermons.
Muchas familias.
Now there's seminars.
Muchos seminarios.
Conferences.
Conferencias.
And they teach from so many areas of Scripture.
Y enseñan de muchas maneras de estructuras.
They speak from Daniel.
Hablan de Daniel.
Ezekiel.
Ezequiel.
Isaiah.
Isaías.
In the New Testament, they speak from Revelation.
Y en el Nuevo Testamento.
They speak from Thessalonians.
Los sales. No sé.
But perhaps the one most often spoken about is the Gospel of Matthew.
El que más se habla es de el Evangelio Mateos.
I believe the reason they speak so much from the Gospel of Matthew is because what is shared in the Word in the Gospel of Matthew is all of Jesus' teachings himself.
Yo creo que cuando hablan de Mateos, creo que porque era que Jesús hablaba de sí mismo.
Amen.
Amen.
Straight from the mouth of the Lord. It's not what Ezekiel prophesied. It's not what Daniel prophesied.
No era lo que Ezequiel profesaba, no era lo que Daniel profesaba.
It's not what John received in his revelation.
No era porque lo que John cogió en su revelación.
It's not what Paul may have written in his letter to the Thessalonians.
No es porque Paul escribió.
But in the Gospel of Matthew, if you look, if you have a Bible that has red letters in it, almost the entire chapter 23, 24, 25, it's all red because it's all the words of the Lord himself.
En el libro de Mateos, casi todo está cruzado con las con color rojo. Y eso quiere decir que casi todo el color rojo era por lo que Jesús quería hacer.
I don't know about you, but I like to hear what someone has to say right from their mouth.
Yo no sé yo, pero yo quiero saber que alguien de aquí puede decir algo de su boca.
Not someone who heard it, who told someone else, who told someone else, and then finally wrote it down.
No porque alguien le dijo, el otro le dijo, y el otro le dijo, y usted lo anotó.
Now there's much to be learned from the Gospel of Matthew of what's going to happen before the return of the Lord.
Hay más que aprender en el libro de Mateo antes del retorno de Jesús.
And like I said, there have been tremendous teachings.
Han habido muchas buenas enseñanzas.
With all the details of exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to happen.
Específicamente diciendo qué es lo que va a pasar.
And that's all good to know.
Y eso es bueno saber.
But as I study the book of Matthew, especially in chapter 24, I see the Lord saying something else.
Yo estudiando el libro de Mateo, especialmente Mateos 24, el capítulo 24, veo yo diciendo al Señor.
This is what I want to share with you this morning.
Eso es lo que quiero predicar esta mañana.
So if we begin, if you want to follow along in your Bibles, I'm not going to read word for word. I'm going to kind of paraphrase what it's saying.
Si quieres seguir en la Biblia, está bien. No voy a decir letra por letra.
Jesus evidently was in the temple.
Jesús estaba en el templo.
And as he came out of the temple, his disciples gathered around him.
Cuando salió del templo, sus discípulos se pusieron alrededor de él.
And they began to show him all the magnificent buildings of the temple yard, the temple courtyard.
Empezaron a enseñar todo lo magnífico que tenía el templo.
And they marveled at them. Look at this. Look at the architecture. Look at the work. Look at the beauty of this.
Y le decían, mira la arquitectura, mira la belleza que está este templo.
But Jesus turned to them, and what he said was, don't you see all these things?
Y Jesús se miró y le dijo a ellos, ¿ustedes no están viendo lo que está al frente de sus ojos?
What he was really saying is, you don't really understand yet, do you?
Lo que de verdad estaba diciendo Jesús era, ustedes no entienden y no saben lo que están viendo en este momento.
He says, I've been telling you, all of this is going to be destroyed.
Todo esto va a ser destruido.
Don't marvel at this.
No se maravillicen con esto.
After he had said that, the disciples, I'm sure, were like stunned. But they didn't want to question him right there and then.
Estoy seguro que los apóstoles se sorprendieron por lo que él dijo, pero no le querían hacer ninguna pregunta en ese momento.
And as the word says, from there they went to the Mount of Olives.
Y como dice la palabra, fueron a la montaña de olivos.
The Mount of Olives is an awesome place.
La montaña de olivos es una.
I've been there twice. Once in the 70s, the late 1970s, and then about 10 or 15 years later.
Yo he estado ahí en los 50 y en los 70.
It's a beautiful orchard of these ancient olive trees.
Es muy hermoso ver alrededor de los árboles de los olivos.
Some of them are well over 2,000 years old.
Algunos tienen más de 2,000 años.
And when you stand there, you can't help thinking that Jesus may have been sitting right at the base of one of these olive trees.
Y cuando estás ahí, no puedes ver o sostener el momento que Jesús también estuvo ahí.
I'm telling you, I can remember being there and the chills go down your back.
Me acuerdo en el momento que cuando escalofrío rodó por mi piel.
To think that I'm standing right where my Lord and Savior was standing.
De solo pensar que estaba parado en el donde estaba mi Salvador, estuvo ahí.
Unbelievable.
Es inexplicable.
Anyway, when they gathered there, now they were just a small group, Jesus and his closest disciples.
Cuando se quedaron ahí eran solo los más allegados, Jesús y sus discípulos.
And the word of God says that when they were there, they went to him privately by themselves and they asked him, Lord, when is this going to happen, what you're talking about, everything being destroyed? When is this going to happen, and how are we going to know that it's happening now?
Y ellos privadamente fueron del Señor y le preguntaron, ¿cuándo va a ser destruido? ¿En qué tiempo? ¿Cuándo vamos a saber que se va a destruir?
Now, what was very curious to me, interesting to me, is the way Jesus answered them.
Lo que fue interesante para mí y curioso fue cómo Jesús les contestó.
He doesn't go right into telling him, well, this is going to happen and that's going to happen and that's going to happen.
Él no fue y les dijo, esto va a pasar, así va a pasar y cómo va a pasar.
No, he warns them. He says, see that no one deceives you. Deceives.
Oh, le dijo a ellos que nadie los vaya a engañar.
See that no one deceives you.
Miren que nadie los vaya a engañar.
Deceive is the opposite of believe.
Engaño es lo positivo de creer.
When you believe something, you accept it as truth.
Cuando tú crees en algo, tú lo aceptas con la verdad.
When you're deceived, you no longer believe it to be true.
Cuando es engaño, ya no crees que es verdad.
It's a matter of losing your faith.
Es una ilusión a tu creencia.
So he's warning them, first thing, don't become faithless. Do not lose your faith. Do not be deceived.
Les dijo, no pierdan su fe. No se dejen caer en engaños.
And then he explains why.
Y ahí les explicó por qué.
He says, because many are going to come and say they were sent from me and tell you all kinds of things.
Les van a decir que otros que han venido por mí y le van a decir cualquier otra cosa.
They're going to say, I'm the Christ.
Deben decir, yo soy el Cristo.
He says, don't believe them.
No les crean.
He says that many are going to be deceived.
Dice él que muchos van a estar engañados.
I want you to notice what he said. He didn't say a few are going to be deceived. He didn't say that some are going to be deceived. He said many, many are going to be deceived.
Él no dijo que solo poquitos o pocos van a estar engañados. Él dijo muchísimos van a estar engañados.
That would be like, maybe what are we here? Maybe 50, 60 people? Okay? If many of you left, probably 40 or 45 of you would leave. That's many. Most of you, that's what many represents.
Aquí estamos reunidos como de 40 a 50 personas. Muchísimo quiere decir que si 45 de ustedes dejarían la iglesia en este momento. Eso quiere decir muchísimos.
You understand the importance of what he's saying?
¿Sí entienden lo importante de lo que él decía?
It's not so important that you know who the Antichrist is and where he's going to stand and what his nationality was and when is he going to come and what is he going to do and what is he going to say. It's more important that you don't lose your faith.
No importa quién diga quién es el anticristo, de dónde viene, qué va a hacer. Lo importante es que no pierdan su fe.
He says, you're going to hear of wars and all kinds of wars. Don't let it bother you. Don't let it upset you. Don't let it trouble you.
Van a escuchar de muchas guerras que van a suceder. No dejen que eso lo moleste o lo ponga para abajo.
All of these things are going to have to happen.
Todas estas cosas van a tener que pasar.
He says it's going to get worse.
Dice que va a pasar peor.
Many are going to start to betray each other.
Muchos van a engañarse entre ellos mismos.
You know what that means? That means to lie about each other. You know, to go maybe tell the authorities, you know, he's one of those crazy Christians.
Eso quiere decir que se van a decir mentira entre ellos mismos, van a ir a las autoridades, van a decirle, él es un cristiano falseta.
There's going to be a lot going on. It's going to become lawless. Do you see we're already starting to become a lawless society?
Que no sigan las leyes, que van a seguir leyes que no son.
Again, he says, the love of many will grow cold.
Muchas leyes van a estar quebradas.
He doesn't say the love of some are going to grow cold.
Dice que no, el amor de algunos van a ser quebrantados.
The love of many.
El amor de muchísimos van a estar quebrantados.
He's trying to get a point across to them. You must not lose your faith, regardless of what happens.
No pierdan su fe.
In fact, he says further down in verse 22, he says, if those last days weren't shortened by my father, no one would make it.
En el versículo 22 dice algunas palabras que nada le va.
But he says, my father's going to shorten them for those who hold on to their faith.
Mi padre va a sostener a la gente que tenga su fe.
And he goes on and he tells them all the different things that are going to happen.
Y él les dice todas las cosas diferentes que van a pasar.
And he tells them, so when you see all of these things happening, know that the end is near.
Y cuando ustedes vean todo esto que está pasando, tengan en cuenta que el mundo está por acabarse.
He says, just the way you can look at a fig tree and you see the leaves on the fig now, maybe in the spring, you know that pretty soon the figs are going to come.
Es como cuando vamos a ver un árbol en el otoño, que ya vemos que va a dar las flores o las matas.
Not too many of us have fig trees. But we have flowers. You see in the spring, you see the shoots starting to come up. You see the leaves starting to form. You know pretty soon there's going to be flowers.
Vemos que cuando venga la primavera, vemos que las flores dan fruto y empiezan a crecer. Y sabemos que muy pronto van a estar las flores.
In the same way, you're starting to see what's going on, everything that's going on. You're going to know My time is soon.
De la misma manera, vamos a ver alrededor de nosotros y vamos a decir, el tiempo ya viene.
So what does he tell them in verse 42?
En el verso 42, ¿qué nos dice?
He says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming.
Por tanto, velar, porque no sabéis en cuál día nuestro Señor viene.
What do you think he's saying when he says, watch therefore?
¿Qué es cuando él dice, vean lo que va a venir?
What do you think he's saying?
¿Qué creen que él está diciendo?
Come on, somebody.
Alguien, por favor.
Huh? Expecting? Huh? Be careful. There's a particular word I'm looking for. Huh? Ready. He's saying, be ready.
Él dice, estén listo.
You don't have to have the whole timeline of the return of Jesus Christ and what's going to happen from the beginning to the end. All you have to be is ready.
No tienes que ver lo que hizo Jesucristo al principio.
That's all.
Solo tienes que estar listo.
He
Eso
says,
es todo.
Be ready, therefore.
He says, but,
he says in verse 42 again, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
En el 42 dice, estés listo. Por tanto, velad, porque no sabéis en qué día vuestro Señor viene.
What's the word for ready?
Listo.
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 In Italian, it's preparando.
Estar preparado.
Be prepared. Be ready for when he comes. So amongst all the things he was telling them, the wars, the rumors of wars, the lawlessness, the offenses, the deceitfulness of the people.
Todo lo que le estaba diciendo a ellos, de las leyes, de las cosas que iban a pasar.
What else?
El racismo, guerras.
The most important thing he was trying to get across is be ready.
Lo más importante que quería decirle a todos es estén listos, estén preparados.
Now, it's not just by accident he starts going into parables after this.
No es de que él estuvo solo en parábolas.
And he gives them example. He says,
y da un ejemplo y dice,
he speaks about a faithful and wise servant who was the head of his house and took care of all his people.
Dale a alguien de la familia que él cuidaba a toda la gente que él cuidaba.
He says, that man will be blessed because he took care of all his people.
El hombre va a ser bendecido porque se ocupó de toda su gente.
If the Lord comes back and he finds you not taking care of, not doing what you're supposed to be doing, he says in verse 51, he'll consider him a hypocrite.
Dice, Señor, si tú no estás haciendo lo que yo te digo que haces, dice el versículo 51, y yo lo azotará severadamente y le asignaré un lugar con los hipócritas. Allí será el llanto y el crujir de dientes.
You know what a hypocrite is?
¿Saben lo que es hipócrita?
It's an actor. That's what it is.
Un actor.
That's just a fancy word for someone who's acting.
Esa es una palabra para alguien que está actuando.
You know how many hypocrites are sitting in churches this morning?
¿Saben cuántos hipócritas han sentado en la iglesia en este día?
They're just acting.
Solo están actuando.
It's Sunday, I got to go to church.
Es domingo, tengo que ir a la iglesia.
I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Estoy haciendo lo que supuestamente tengo que hacer.
I call myself a Christian.
Yo me llamo un cristiano.
I'm supposed to be in church.
Entonces tengo que estar en la iglesia.
That's hypocritical, it's called. It's hypocrisy, it's acting.
Eso es hipocresía, actuando.
And he says, those will end up in a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Ellos dicen, cuando van a estar llorando y abriendo los dientes.
You know what that is? That's crying and gritting your teeth. I should have done what I was supposed to do.
Eso es llorando y abriendo los dientes, diciendo esto es lo que estaba supuesto hacer.
But it's too late.
Pero es demasiado tarde.
It's too late. He not only wants you to be ready.
No solamente él quiere que tú estés listo o preparado.
But he wants you to be doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Él quiere que estés haciendo lo que supuestamente tienes que hacer.
Now he didn't stop here.
Él nunca paró aquí.
We're going to go next to right after this in chapter 25.
Vamos al capítulo 25.
You see, when the Lord spoke, he didn't speak in chapters and verses with numbers. He didn't.
Cuando Dios habló, él no habló en capítulos ni números.
We put chapters and numbers because it's easier to find things in the scripture.
Nosotros ponemos los números a los capítulos para hallarlos más rápido.
So after this whole conversation he's having with his disciples about the end times and the coming of the Lord and being ready and doing what you're supposed to.
Después de la conversación que tuvo con sus discípulos, ¿qué iba a pasar? ¿Cuándo viene otra vez Jesús y lo que iba a pasar?
It doesn't end there because chapter 24 ends. It continues on in chapter 25 and he begins speaking of the parable of the wise and foolish virgins.
No se acaba ahí porque se acabó el capítulo 25. Ahora vamos al capítulo 26, right? No se acaba en el capítulo 24. Se continúa en el capítulo 25 con las parábolas de las 10 vírgenes.
Now we've probably all heard the parable of the 10 virgins. Is there anybody here that hasn't heard about the parable of the 10 virgins?
Me.
No, I didn't think so.
Creo que todos conocemos la parábola de las 10 vírgenes. ¿Hay alguien aquí que no sepa la parábola de las 10 vírgenes?
They were all virgins, they all believed, they all had faith.
Todas eran vírgenes, todas creían, todas tenían su fe.
They were all gathered together and they were waiting for their bridegroom, for the Lord to return.
Todas se reunían para el regreso del Señor.
What made five of them wise and five of them foolish?
¿Cuál eran cinco de sus esposas y cinco eran insensatas?
What made the foolish ones foolish?
¿Cuál hicieron las insensatas insensatas?
Anybody?
¿Alguien sabe?
They weren't ready.
No estaban listas.
He's still talking about the same thing here.
Sigue hablando de lo mismo aquí mismo.
They weren't ready. They didn't have the oil. They didn't have the spirit within them.
No estaban listas. No tenían el espíritu.
And when the Lord returned, the five wise went in and the foolish couldn't.
Y cuando el Señor regresó, las cinco vírgenes entraron, las que tenían fe y las que no, no entraron.
In verse 10 it says, and while the others who weren't ready went to try and buy some oil, it says the bridegroom came and those who were ready went into him to the wedding and the door was shut.
En el capítulo dice, y mientras ellas iban a comprar vino, el novio y las que estaban preparadas entraron con él al banquete de bodas y se cerró la puerta. Las que no estaban listas no entraron.
You see, when the Lord returns, you can't say to him, give me a minute, will you please? I got to go get some oil.
Cuando el Señor regrese, tú no le puedes decir, dame cinco minutos, voy a coger el vino.
It's too late then.
Es muy tarde.
So what does he say in verse 13?
¿Qué él dice en el verso 13?
Watch therefore, exactly the same words. For you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Be ready.
Dice, vela, pues porque no sabéis ni el día ni la hora en que yo llegue.
You know, I remember when we were little kids, we used to play a game. I don't know what you call it in Spanish, hide and seek.
Cuando yo era pequeño, yo me recuerdo cuando jugábamos con los niños a las escondidas.
And someone would go hide and the other people would have to try and find them.
Uno se iban a esconder y la otra persona los tenía que ir a encontrar.
And you'd have to hide your eyes. Well, they're going and hiding. They had to, you know, cover your eyes.
Se tenían que contar y cerrar los ojos de que todos se escondieran.
And then after a certain time, you would say, "Ready or not, here I come."
Y después de un periodo de tiempo decían, "Listo o no, ahí los voy a encontrar."
That's what's going to happen with the Lord's return.
Eso es lo que va a pasar cuando el Señor regrese.
He's saying, "Ready or not, I'm coming back."
Él dice, "Listo o no, mi regreso está."
Amen. So he's saying, "Watch therefore, be ready."
Dice, "Prepárate, estés listo."
If we knew he was coming this afternoon, if we knew he was coming this afternoon, what would you be doing?
Si supieran que viene hoy en la tarde, ¿qué estuvieran haciendo?
You know what I would be doing?
¿Saben lo que yo estuviera haciendo?
I'd be running over to all my children's houses, all my grandchildren, gather them together and say, "Look, it's now or never. He's coming. He's coming."
Estuviera corriendo a la casa de mis hijos, de mis nietos, diciéndole, "Hoy es la hora, ya viene, ya viene."
Well, you know what we should be doing?
¿Sabe qué estuviéramos haciendo?
We should be doing exactly that, like he's coming tomorrow, like he's coming this afternoon, because we don't know when he's coming.
Estuviéramos haciendo como que él estuviera viniendo el día de hoy, porque no sabemos en la hora de su retorno.
He doesn't stop talking.
Él no para de hablar.
If you look in your Bible, the letters are still all red.
Si miras en tu Biblia, las letras siguen en rojo.
He goes into another parable.
La otra parodia.
The parable of the talents.
Parábola.
He talks about a man who's going away for a while. Who do you think he's talking about?
Él habla de un hombre que se va por
talking
un rato.
About the Lord. But he says, before he went away, he gave his servants talents.
Antes de que él se fuera, él a sus sirvientes talento.
To one he gave five, to one he gave two, to one he gave one.
A uno le dio cinco, al otro le dio dos, y al otro uno.
And then after a long period of time,
después de un periodo largo,
look what it says in verse 19. I love the way it's worded here in verse 19. It says, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. He came to settle up.
Capítulo 19 dice, después de mucho tiempo vino el Señor de aquellos siervos y arregló cuentas con ellos.
So the one that he gave five talents said, "Look, I made you another five." He says, "Beautiful. Come on in."
Al que le dio cinco talentos vino y le dio los cinco talentos más cinco. Y le dijo, "Bien, entra."
And the one he gave two made two more. And he says, "Beautiful. Come on in."
Y al que le dio los dos y los dos más y le dijo, "Entra."
But the one he gave one was afraid, didn't know what to do. He didn't want to lose. So he just hid it and did nothing. He did absolutely nothing.
Y al que le dio uno, estaba nervioso, no sabía qué hacer con él, y solo lo escondió. Y solo le devolvió el uno y no le devolvió más.
And it says in verse 30, that unprofitable servant was cast into outer darkness. Look, the exact same words again. Where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Y dice en el verso 30, y al siervo inútil, echalo a las tinieblas de afuera, allí será el llanto y el crujir de dientes.
He didn't stop there. He didn't say, "Okay, enough guys, that's enough for today."
Él no paró, dijo, "Ya les pagué a todos por el día de hoy."
Your letter's still red.
Las letras siguen rojas.
He goes into another parable about the sheep and the goats. He says, in the end, Father God will come and he's going to separate the sheep on the right, the goats on the left.
Y él dijo, las ovejas, en el 32 dice, y serán reunidas delante de él todas las naciones y separadas a unos de otros como el pastor separa las ovejas de los cabritos.
And look what he says. He says to the ones on his right, "Come. You're blessed. Inherit all that I have prepared for you."
Y dice, los que estaban en su mano derecha, dice, entrarán
And he says, because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. When I was sick, you came and prayed with me. When I was in prison, you came and visited me.
Porque dice, porque tuve hambre y me disteis de comer. Tuve sed y me disteis de beber. Fui forastero y me recibisteis. Estaba desnudo y me vestisteis. Enfermo y me visitáis. En la cárcel y vinisteis a mí.
And they must have said to each other, what is he talking about? When did we give him something to eat? When did we give him something to drink? When did we see him naked and give him clothes? When did we see he was sick and we prayed for him? When did we go visit him in prison? And he tells them, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it to me.
Y se preguntaron, ¿cuándo le dimos de comer? ¿Cuándo le vestimos? ¿Cuándo lo visitamos en la cárcel? Y él dijo, por lo que me dieron ustedes. Cuando me hiciste uno de mis pequeños.
Amen.
Amen.
And to those on his left, the goats, he told them, you didn't do it all to me. When you didn't do it to your brother and your sister and your neighbor and your coworker or anybody else you ran into, when you didn't help them, part of being ready is doing what you're supposed to be doing. When you didn't do it, it was as good as not doing it for me.
Cuando no lo hiciste por el vecino, por tus hijos, por un hermano tuyo, eso quiere decir que no estabas listo.
Amen.
Amen.
And again, he says in the end in verse 46,
and verso 46.
These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life.
Y esto irán al castigo eterno, pero los justos a la vida eterna.
You see, people, it's not about knowing who the Antichrist is. Was he Israeli? Was he Arab? Was he Italian? What he looked like, what the color of his hair was? How old was he? What did he do? It doesn't hurt to know some of this stuff.
No importa de qué color tenga, Cristo tenga el color, de qué nacionalidad, de qué país es. Es bueno saberlo.
You know, have you ever seen when they do these teachings? Now look, my own nephew, Ron Pag, he teaches this all the time. And it's a good thing. Believe me, I'm not saying it's not a good thing. But you see, they'll have timelines on there. This happens, that happens, that happens. The war, the 3.5 years, the 7 years, all of this stuff. And you could know it all, like the back of your hand. But if you're not ready, what good is it?
Dice, yo tengo a mi sobrino que él predica. Está bueno que él predique lo que él hace. Pero si tú no estás listo o preparado, no sirve de nada que te sepas todo lo que te tenga que saber de la Biblia. Tienes que estar listo y preparado.
So he says, don't be deceived.
Él dice, no seas engañado.
Instead, be ready and be busy.
Al contrario, estés listo, preparado y ocupado.
Ocupado. He says, occupy till I come. Ocupado. Ocupado? Ocupado. Ocupado. Doesn't the word of God says faith without works is dead? You say, I believe. I'll prove to you I believe by what I do.
Tú dices, yo creo. Prueba lo que crees cuando yo lo vea.
Don't get caught up in the details. The details aren't going to save you. It's whether or not you're ready or not.
No te quedes atrapado en los detalles. Los detalles no te van a salvar.
Remember the first thing he answered them. He says, see to it that you're not deceived.
Acuérdense lo primero que le dijo. No sean engañados.
Here's the thing about being deceived. You could be deceived by another person.
Esto es lo del engaño. Tú puedes ser fácilmente engañado por otra persona.
How can I explain this? You know, because of all these end-time preachings, people have come up with, I would call it doctrine, a pre-trib rapture, mid-trib rapture, post-trib rapture.
No sé cómo explicarlo, pero mucha gente ha sacado con sus doctrinas.
One of them is going to be right.
Uno de ellos va a estar bien.
Now, if I believe in pre-trib rapture, and you believe in post-trib rapture, and I come to you and I prove to you, look what it says here, look what it says there, look what it says, I could deceive you into you no longer believing what you believed before. You understand? We can be deceived by other people, okay?
Si creemos en diferentes tribus, yo puedo creer en una, tú puedes creer en otra, pero es muy fácil ser engañado.
But here's the thing. You can also be deceived from within.
Esta es la cosa, que también podemos ser engañados internamente.
Without looking at your Bibles,
sin que miren a la Biblia,
nobody cheating,
no hagan trampa.
Can anybody quote Jeremiah 17:9? Come on, give it a try, Larry.
Jeremías. Jeremiah 17:19.
Sin is so deep within you, who can see it? It's something along those lines.
All right, I don't want to put you on the spot. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Can you read that? Jeremiah 17:9.
Jeremías 19:7 dice. Oh, 17:9 dice. Más engañoso que todo es el corazón y sin remedio. ¿Quién lo comprenderá?
Our own hearts are deceitful.
Nuestros corazones nos engañan.
And we can be deceived from within. We begin to doubt, we begin to question what really is true, what really is of God. And our own hearts can begin to deceive us. You know, go ahead.
Nos hacemos muchas preguntas en el corazón y con la mente. ¿Será cierto de Dios? En nuestro mismo interno nosotros nos engañamos.
You know, things happen in our lives which we just don't understand.
Pasa muchas cosas en nuestras vidas que pastores no entienden.
Someone gets sick and you pray and you pray and you pray and you have the whole church praying. You have all of Suffolk County praying. You have people all the way out to California praying, and you're praying and you're fasting and you're sacrificing, and that person still dies.
Cuando te pones a ayunar, a orar, horas aquí, horas allá, y puede ser de aquí a otro estado, y siguen orando, y la persona se muere.
It's not that hard for your heart to start to become hard, and you start thinking, what kind of a God is this? He doesn't listen to our prayers, and our own hearts begin to deceive us and to start taking away the faith that we had when he says all things work together. All things work together. All includes bad things. All things work together.
No es difícil que nuestros corazones se pongan de piedra y empiecen a decir, ¿qué es Dios? ¿Por qué pasan las cosas?
So what do you think prevents, stops our hearts from deceiving us?
¿Qué creen que pasaría si le decimos a nuestro corazón que no nos engañe?
It depends on what you put into it.
Depende de lo que tú le pongas adentro del corazón.
Your heart could be good or your heart could be bad.
Tu corazón puede ser bueno o puede ser malo.
See, God created us in His image, and He gave us the ability to reason and to think.
Dios nos creó con su imagen y semejanza, y nos dio para razonar.
This world all around us is crazy, right? It's getting crazier and crazier every day. There's more and more evil. There's more and more stuff that's happening that you say, how could this be?
Este mundo está loco, más loco, y muchas muchas maldades.
If you think you could just depend on your heart as it is, and just say, no, I'm good, I'm not going to let any of this bother me, you're fooling yourself.
Si tú crees que en tu corazón dices, no, está bien, yo no voy a dejar que nada me engañe, te estás engañando a ti mismo.
You need to fill your heart with the things of God and keep filling it over and over and over again so that the stuff from the world can't overtake your heart.
Tienes que alimentar a tu corazón diariamente con la palabra de Jesús para que los problemas del mundo no te afecten.
In Romans 12:2, if you want to turn to that. Romans 12:2.
Romano 12:2.
It says that part of our discipleship, part of us becoming a Christian and growing in our faith, it says we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Transformed, changed, have our minds renewed. And it explains why. It says because then you'll be able to tell what's good and what God wants you to do, what's good and what's pleasing to Him, what is His will. When your mind is transformed, your mind and your heart, they work together. When it's renewed, it's no longer carnal and fleshly and of this world. It's renewed by God. Then you'll know what's right and what's good and what you should be doing. Can you read it?
Romano 12:2 dice, y no os adaptéis a este mundo, sino transformaos mediante la renovación de vuestra mente, para que verifiquéis cuál es la voluntad de Dios, lo que es bueno, aceptable y perfecto.
Everything you do, God gave us the ability to reason. Everything you do, you have to question your heart. Is this pleasing to God or not?
Todo lo que Dios nos dio, también nos dio una mente para razonar. Y hay que preguntarle al corazón, ¿esto es bueno para Dios?
And you have to stay, obviously, you have to stay away from those things that are not pleasing to God.
Obviamente tienes que estar de las cosas, evadir las cosas que no están para Dios.
It takes work, doesn't it? We're tempted every day in all different ways. We're tempted. It takes work to stay steadfast in the faith. It takes work.
Se necesita trabajo, mucho trabajo, para estar con fe.
You know what this weekend is? Labor Day weekend. Monday is Labor Day. Tomorrow is Labor Day. I was asking myself, you know, Veterans Day, we celebrate all those men and women that served in the military to fight for our freedom, right? Memorial Day, we remember all those who served in the military and died in the process for our freedom. Independence Day, July 4th, we celebrate the signing of our Declaration of Independence, which made us free from the whatever control of England. On Father's Day, we honor fathers. On Mother's Day, we honor mothers. We could go on and on and on. And I said to myself, what are we celebrating on Labor Day? hamburgers and hot dogs and barbecues? That's what we do. It's a day off work, and we have barbecues and picnics and hamburgers and I said, so what is Labor Day? So I looked it up. I actually had to Google it. What are we celebrating on Labor Day? And what we're celebrating is we're honoring and remembering all those who worked and contributed toward the development and achievement of the United States, that made this country as great as it is. And I know it's not as great as it used to be, but it's still one of the, if not the greatest country in the world. And what we're doing on Labor Day, we're supposed to be doing on Labor Day, is remembering all those that worked so hard in building even the infrastructure, the highways, the bridges, the everybody that worked so hard in government and to make this country such a great, when we were in war, I'm sorry, I'm not giving you time to translate.
It's okay.
When we were in war, all those women in the factories, putting the bullets together and the men in the factories making the tanks and this and that. All those that worked so hard to make this country as powerful and as good as it is, even though it's not as good as it used to be, everybody's still trying to get here. Come on, we see everybody coming in by the busloads. They want to get here. That's what we're celebrating on Labor Day. Working. Well, God wants us to work for His kingdom, so one day He can celebrate us for all we did. And you know what? The day is going to come when you're going to be up in heaven and you don't even realize the things you've done. And someone's going to come up to you and maybe pull on your jacket or your shirt sleeve and say, hey, you don't remember me, but I was in your Sunday school class. And that one day you taught this lesson, and I gave my heart to the Lord. And I'm here now because of you, because of your work. I don't know about you, but I want to be celebrated when I get there. The Word of God says they're going to be crowns. God has crowns reserved for those who have done His work. He's going to honor them with a crown. Can you imagine? That's why that one guy with the one talent, and he did nothing with it, he went away gnashing his teeth, weeping, because he did nothing for the Lord. I'm going to try and wrap this up. You know, I love this portion of Scripture in Ephesians 1. Maybe you can turn to it. Ephesians 1. I know this has been difficult not being able to translate. I hope. How many people do we have here this morning that don't understand English? Don't understand.
¿Cuántas personas hay aquí que no entienden el idioma inglés? Alcen la mano, por favor.
1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 4 or 5. I'm sorry, I apologize.
Me disculpas.
To you.
Hopefully, fue muy rápido, no le di oportunidad que
hopefully the day is going to come, maybe we'll have some equipment where we can translate while we're speaking and you can understand in Spanish, okay? We're going to try and do that because it'll work. It'll work much better. But I want to get back to in Ephesians, Paul, the Apostle Paul, the disciple Paul, when he went to the area called Ephesus, and he saw the faith of the people, the remarkable faith that they had, he began to pray. He said in verse 17, he says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? So that you may know him better. Ephesians 1:17.
Efesios 1:17 dice, pidiendo que el Dios de nuestro Señor Jesucristo, el Padre de gloria, os dé espíritu de sabiduría y de revelación en un mejor conocimiento de él.
So that you may know him better. As well as you think you know him, I want you to know him even better. And he goes on. And then he says, and I pray that the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Can you read that in 18?
Yes. Efesios 1:18 dice, mi oración es que los ojos de vuestro corazón sean iluminados para que sepáis cuál es la esperanza de su llamamiento, cuáles son las riquezas de la gloria y su herencia en los santos.
The final, the bottom line is, he wants you to know, he wants you to be ready, and he wants you to occupy, occupato, until he comes. And I want to close with this final scripture in Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3.
Y vamos a cerrar con Colosenses
3:23. It says, and whatever you do, do it from the heart, as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hebreos 23 dice, y todo lo que hagáis, hacedlo de corazón, como para el Señor y no para los hombres, sabiendo que del Señor recibiráis la recompensa de la herencia. Es a Cristo el Señor a quien sirves.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So final words. Be ready. Not by knowing all the details, but by enduring until the end and doing what he has called you to do along the way. Ocupato.
Final palabras.
Amen. Amen. Stand with me. Danny, thank you. I know I put you
You're welcome. Thank you.
I know I put you through the ringer there.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you for what it teaches us, for the hope that it gives us, and the ability to hold on until the end. Father, I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice, Father, will be ready when you send your son. We don't know the day or the hour, and you've not called us to know it, but you have called us to be ready. And in the meanwhile, to be doing what we should be doing. Father, we are your ambassadors. Father, enable us to get past the pride, the shyness, the bashfulness, and open our mouths whenever we're given the opportunity, that we may win more lost for the kingdom. Father, may that line of sheep be a million times longer than the line of goats.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Father, enable us to be your servants and ambassadors and do what you've called us to do. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for your word and how it pierces our hearts and changes our hearts. May we walk away today with a different perspective of the days that lie ahead, more prepared than ever and more willing than ever to be doing what we should be doing. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. God bless you. The cafe is open. Join us in there for some coffee and some refreshments. I love you all.